Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features returning guest and my friend Karen Choi. Had a great time hanging out with Karen over at Kalinga Studios in Maplewood, Missouri. We recorded over there that night. Had a lot of fun talking about her brand new EP that she put out in 2020. And we talk about our upcoming show we have together August 21st over at the Focal Point in Maplewood. It's part of my upcoming singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, again with Karen Choi, Nick Gussman, Andy Sitto, and Anthony J. Russo. August 21st, Maplewood, Missouri at the Focal Point. $11 tickets get you in. And come on out and join us. It's going to be an intimate listening room experience, and it's gonna be just a lot of fun. Four writers sitting on stools sharing their stories and songs, so come on out. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company, an American Rambler, located right here in Maplewood, Missouri. You can stop by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. And that's 15% off all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World renowned, made right here in St. Louis. Again, visit them at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use that code RPP15. It's a great way to support local business and help keep this show going. So thank you to all those that are using that code. And also a big shout out to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great using this PR40 for my intro. And of course, I record all my shows with it. But I love this microphone. It's really great, and I think you'll love it too. So check out HeilSound.com today to take your recording to the next level. And if you want to help continue to support this show, a great way to do so would be visiting the Rock Paper Podcast merch store through Buy Jack. buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast, and you can head over there and grab all your favorite little Shaney shirts, logo t-shirts. We got some tank tops, and we got hats up there, so you can find all these things in multicolored and various sizes. And that's a really great way. I mean, I love seeing those little Shaney shirts out there. It always makes me laugh. So thank you to everybody that's been helping support this show. Really means the world to me. So thank you. And of course, if you need to find me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email, rockpaperpodcast@gmail, and any of the socials. I would love to hear from you all. And with all that out of the way, I'll sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Karen Choi.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Karen Choi, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Karen Choi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks
this,
so much.
This is super cool. I'm glad to be here hanging with you in person. Well, I've been doing a few of them in person, which is nice because like I got real sick of doing the whole Zoom stuff. But you know, it's just really nice to be out now that everything's coming back around and getting to actually see people's faces again and everything else. So it's feels good in the summertime and that's everything else. So. But a big shout out to Kalinga Studios here in St. Louis, allowing us to hang out and record this evening. So come over here and check them out in the Maplewood area. Mm-hmm. But we haven't done one of these in a long time. It's been a couple years now.
It has been, yeah.
Since we did a podcast, but you did the songwriter show.
Yes.
In 19, right?
That's right.
I think it was. So maybe it was like 18 when we did the podcast. I'd have to look the dates, but anyway, that was a fun night hanging out at Naked Vine with the guys of Les Scruff
that's
and Billy
right.
Goat.
Yeah, that was a good time for sure.
Billy and Tony, and I just realized you know, it's been a long time since we hung out. You put out some brand new music, mm-hmm. and I was like, I would love to hang out and talk and catch up and. Just talk about what you've been up to. So that's why we're here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking coming over here because today I work in school, working in elementary, mm-hmm. and it was just it was a good day because today was actually the last day of school for us.
Oh no way!
So
today.
Yeah. So it was well as we're recording.
Yeah.
So
yes, that's right.
And it was just got me thinking, like, you know, just driving over here, I was just like thinking about how cool and exciting that is, mm-hmm. you know, especially as a kid, mm-hmm. as you were going through school, like that whole kickoff to summer and stuff, that last day of school and getting that all over with. And so, I don't know, it was just put me in a good mood today. Just like, it was just exciting to be around the kids and like see them all happy that everything's over, especially surviving this year.
Yes.
But you have little ones, right?
I do. Yeah.
Are they in school yet? Or
they are. Yeah. I have a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 6-year-old. Oh, all right. So yeah, they're very much in school.
Yeah.
But also recently on summer break.
Right. Yeah. So like. It's probably a little different for parents on summer break, but
it's like the inverse experience of the educators.
But you know, I know everybody was excited, and it was a lot of tears too because we have a couple teachers retiring. Hmm. So like they were, you know, a lot of them pretty upset, you know, just because it's an emotional time, you know, like they.
It's been a wild ride of a year for everybody. So like, everything has a little bit more of a, I don't know. Weight to it, I guess.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. I mean, we had a nice meeting, and our principal was like, you know, first of all, thank you. Like, you know, we couldn't have done this without all of you. And so it was just really a nice, you know, speech and that he gave. But it was just like, this is the weirdest, craziest school year we've ever been a part of and stuff. Yes. So, but I'm glad it's all in the past now and mm-hmm. hopefully move on, just be a memory now.
And you're on summer break, so
yeah. Well, I do custodial, so I still got
to
work.
You still have to work, but you felt the energy.
Sure.
Is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, but it's going to be a lot quieter with no kids there.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
It'll be a little different this summer, but anyway, it was just it's just an exciting time of year because mm-hmm. summer's coming around and just everything warming up. And anyway, it just got me feeling good today.
That's
but,
awesome.
But I was telling you a little bit of story. I wanted to save for the mics because I thought it was funny, but so I've been doing my part to try to do a little dieting and trying to meal prep, trying to get mm-hmm. right. Been way too long of just drive-throughs and everything else. Yeah. You know, it was the pandemic pounds kind of thing, you know. So, and but today I did cheat a little bit. It was a little. I went to QT. And I got
on your way here.
Yeah, I got two taquitos.
This is turning a confession time.
Yeah, and I got my two taquitos, and that was my little snack to hold me over till I got home. And sure enough, I started choking, and I thought, this is it. This is how I go out. You know, choking on a
death by taquito.
Yeah, and I was like. So I was like, yeah, imagine that. Like, well, at least you died doing what you loved, you know? It's like, and
outside, you're just like, you haven't even left the parking lot. Right. You're just in the QT parking lot.
It was a little sketchy, you know? I was like, you know, eyes started watering and everything. And I was like, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is, you know? It's like, you've been doing good. You slip up one day and you have a taquito, and then like that was,
and then
almost,
you die.
Almost takes me out. You know, it's yes. Like somebody saying, "Hey, I told you, just knock that off." You know, so
right. I'm glad. Well, let me be the first to say, I'm glad you're still with us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But I was going to call you because I was like the whole time I'm like trying to clear my like afterwards. I'm like still like, you know, kept feeling like there was something, you know, there.
There was. It was a taquito.
Yeah, right. It's still there. Yeah, still in the hole. But I was like, you know, it took me a while to finally get my voice back together and stuff so I could record today. And
man,
but yeah, I was just like, oh geez, like that would be pretty embarrassing to, you know, just die choking on a taquito. So, but shout out to QT,
sponsorship, maybe. Yeah,
big fan of them. Hopefully, they'll sponsor this show.
Yeah, I hope, you know, maybe provide you with like a lifetime supply of taquitos. But if you die, it'll just be like two.
Yeah.
The right. Lifetime supply.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Very, so not that very many. Limited lifetime supply. Yeah. But I'm glad. But it's nice. So I feel like, you know, it, getting everything together, feeling a lot better about everything and trying to get that beach bod for the summer and stuff. So, right. Yeah.
Hit the pool. Right.
Anyway, I thought that's my little story for, but I wanted to get more talking more about you and what you right before everything kind of shut down, you dropped a brand new EP.
I did. Yes.
Lost County, available everywhere digitally. Music is available today. Mm-hmm. And so what was that like for you to want to, you know, to record and then release music during a year when you couldn't tour behind it, you couldn't do it, you know? It's like, it's obviously everything's completely different for you know, an artist like yourself. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rough, you know. I think for everybody there was kind of there were these sort of multiple waves of realization of what we were dealing with, because, you know, I had my album release show in January and then had some tour dates booked, I think through like June or July of, you know, 2020. And so it's kind of like, I remember canceling some for, I can't, you know, probably March, I guess it would have been.
Right.
And then thinking, well, we'll just pick this back up in the summer. And then, you know, canceling the summer dates and just sort of this wave of realization that things were just going to be canceled or postponed indefinitely.
Right.
And that was hard. I think a lot of people of various kind of levels in terms of like whether they're locally, you know, local musicians or regionally or nationally touring musicians, like there were just so many different ways that it affected people, because yeah, that's what you do. I had merch for the for the record. I had things that I was going to try to you invest in sort of this plan for getting it out there. And so it was really hard for sure. I think that there's still a part of me that feels like I want to give it a little bit of its own due, you know, before I kind of move on. And
sure.
Yeah. But the experience of recording it itself and everything was wonderful. And,
yeah. Yeah. This is a fantastic collection of songs that you played a couple of them that night that we mentioned with that songwriter showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got to a little bit of some of the stories that night behind some of these, which was a lot of fun hearing that, you know, just, and that's a lot of the fun of that show too.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the podcast and like hearing people come on and play live on here is like, I get to hear like the raw bare bones, you a guitar and your mm-hmm. vocals and occasionally harmonica.
Yeah, that's
and right. And then here in the produced polished version, mm-hmm. you and the you know we got a band on quite a few of these songs mm-hmm. that you know having a little more production in there.
Yeah,
and so it's just fun to hear that. I always say like the evolution of a song, you know, it's like as it continues to evolve to where it's the final product that we put out there on the mm-hmm. on the record and stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, this is a very, very nice collection of songs, 6 tracks
Thank
that you put together on
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do a couple, we did one to, mm-hmm. from live today from the EP there, and it's called Autumn.
That's right.
And what would you like to share around this particular track?
Yeah. So, I'd say that, you know, on the record, this one did end up pretty true to form in terms of like how I performed it tonight. Had a little bit of piano and, acoustic guitar. My, backing musician, Nick Dahlquist, plays piano, guitar, and a bunch of different instruments on the record. But yeah, this is really just a song about, kind of learning to wait when you're waiting for something to happen or waiting to get through something, and sort of this unique passivity, I guess, when you're just trying, you can't really push your way through a hard experience. You're just having to get through each day. And
autumn leaves are turning late, my heart's heavy beneath the weight. Take a deep breath, there's hope to be had yet. Beauty to appreciate. We've been on 2 different pages, keeping track of wounds and ways. Now I can't seem to move across the living room. I'm frozen and afraid of change. The walls of this old house closing, creaking like a grown oak in the wind. Sturdy origin, yet weary in the limbs. Lost from where it all began. The only way to the other side of time is day by day.
Tied it around kind of the metaphor of autumn because it was a year in St. Louis when it was still like 100 degrees in October.
Right.
And as it often is, and it surprises me every time. I don't know when I'll learn that that's how it is here. But yeah, just, you know, waiting for something to change and for something to lessen up, like, you know, the oppressive heat when you're just waiting for that that shift in seasons.
Right.
Yeah,
sometimes you can take a nap and it'll change seasons, you know.
Within that amount of time.
Right. Wake up and, man, what happened to summer? You know, so.
That's right.
But yeah, it's weird around here. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, this sounded really nice. And again, like, I just love this stuff. Like, just you and a guitar. And mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing this with us today.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Thanks.
So what, like, you know, as you're everything, you know, kind of going into, you know, you put this out and then everything kind of shuts down, like we talked about, do you find, that it was difficult to want to write newer songs, are you sitting on a bunch of new songs that it was easier to write because you had more time at home? Or, I mean, obviously you're being mom and everything during that whole time too. And,
right.
And stuff like, so.
Yeah, I would say I did find it harder to write. I think that I had a sense that there would be a lot of material that came out of this time, which I'm starting to see that now. Like, I'm writing more now, mm-hmm. as I sort of was able or am able to start to look back on this last year or so. Because for me, it was a pretty profound experience of everything just halting in life across all fronts. For everybody it was, just for me, of course. But caused a lot of, like, reflective moments. And I had kind of my, I don't know, I joke that, like, I had way too many, far too many existential moments during that whole, like, quarantine period, because it just, yeah, sort of caused me to reassess a lot of things. And I would either be sitting on my porch sort of just staring at the sky as one does, right. or as I do, or I'd be building a fire in my backyard and just, like, staring at that. And I always wondered what my neighbors thought of me because I was out there all the time. For, like, there she is again. She's really having a hard time getting through this. But for me, it was such a, I don't know, like, kind of a time to re-examine and reassess. And in terms of music, that really was interesting because, like, no matter what your level of performer, you know, you could be filling arenas or you could be, like, playing open mics and everything shut down. Sure. There was no, it was just this great equalizer, I guess.
Right.
And so I kind of found that really interesting. Like, what does this mean for all artists? It's not specific to one kind of, like, caliber, I guess, of musician or mm-hmm. artist. And so in some ways there was, like, some comfort in that. Like, we're all just, like, the ground is leveled at this point. And what does it mean to just create and not have these, like, I guess, rules or things that we're trying to accomplish. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, actually, you know, some of those, and, you know, smaller artists were the only ones working because,
yes,
you know, the patios and that.
Yes,
there was some things like that because, like, you know, or people had to pivot, which I think that's been, like, the term. Everybody's saying, like, the year of the pivot, you know, like, everybody, everybody had to learn how to adapt and figure out a way to, whether it was, you know, doing these virtual shows or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever and things. But you know, the only thing we kind of had was these, like, social distance patio shows over the summer sometimes. And so I don't know. It was kind of a crazy thing, though. It was even, like, weird, like, you know, I'm, like, big in comedy, too. And, like, mm-hmm. seeing, like, even, like, Dave Chappelle, like, had, like, this field by his house in Ohio, and, you know, started putting people out there in lawn chairs and, you know, socially distanced and stuff.
Yeah.
And whatever, making it, you know, figuring out a way to make it work and stuff. Yeah. So
people adapt, and right. you know, I definitely saw, we definitely saw that across the board as far as artists and musicians go, and people just kind of responded and figured out ways to still create and still perform, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think as a creator, like, I mean, I just feel like there depends on the person, the personality. Yeah, obviously. But like, I feel like all that negativity, you know, sad and depressing stuff that we went through could either be a great motivator to write, to channel some of that, and or, you know, writing whatever it is that, however you interpret all that. Or, you know, just sometimes it puts people in a funk. You're like, I can't write in this. Like, you know, so.
Yeah, I think for me, I had this sense of right now I'm collecting thoughts and experiences. And I wasn't seeing a lot of new material coming out of that time. But I feel like, you know, it's starting to flow a little more quickly with a little bit of retrospective insight.
Well, you did another live one, and this one came out right in the middle of a quarantine, right? Like,
Yes.
Fastlane?
Yes, Fastlane. Yeah. Yep.
So you, I guess, like, was this one that you wrote even after the recording of the record, the EP and stuff?
Yes. So, this one, I think right when everything was kind of at its most shut down, I had a friend of mine, Justin Denny, who lives in, he's a singer-songwriter in Indianapolis, and he kind of issued like a challenge to songwriters to write and record a song and release, release a song. I can't remember the time frame, but it was something like within this certain amount of time. And I committed to it without having any idea how I was going to accomplish it, because this was really early on when like nobody was going anywhere. So there was not like go and, you know, work in a studio with a mask on it. It was just, everyone was just home going nowhere. So I said yes. And, then had to figure out how to make it happen. And, it was actually a really great, learning experience, because my guitar player, Nick, dropped off like this little, you know, kind of interface for me to use, and sort of just tracked like my bare bones guitar and vocal at home, and then sent it off to him, and everything was done via distance. And I guess for me, it was kind of an empowering moment, because I've always worked in studios and love all the producers and studio musicians I have worked with, but just seeing that, like, the experiences I've collected over, you know, across the course of three albums, like, I can I can do this, like, right. I can record and put out a song, and just that kind of do-it-yourself energy, I guess. Going nowhere.
Feels like I'm in the fast lane. Feels like I'm in the fast lane. Feels like I'm in the fast lane. Going nowhere. May never be a smaller frame. May never be a household name. I never was looking for fame.
That's how this show survived. Like, I just, like, a lot of it just, like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I'll figure it out. And like, yes. And once you start kind of work figuring out, okay, this how this do what this thing does and whatever, and then you just keep, you know, keep challenging yourself. But yeah, I love trying new things and figuring out what works and what doesn't and stuff. But that's a lot of home recording is definitely been a huge thing and part of my life too. So
I have tons of respect and appreciation for studio environments. So I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm a convert,
right.
because I do value that environment, but it was just that both and like to be able to put something out in the midst of that time was really,
right.
It was really meaningful to me, I guess.
Yeah. And so that single is available also out there wherever you can get your music at. So
yeah,
check that out. I was telling you though, like on the EP, there's more, a little bit more production, and one of them, a particular favorite of mine is "Hand to Hold," which kind of kicks off the it's track one on the EP, and but it kind of for me like it kind of a standalone, like you know, the others kind of have some similar tone, you know, just a little more more of a acoustic folk kind of feel to them. But there's other stuff, but this one kind of starts with this cool like bluesy kind of groove. I told you it kind of reminded me almost like a Black Keys kind of or something in that vein of like modern blues rock kind of stuff. There's like it's just a sound, feels good. I love Black Keys, so like that's you know, that's one of my favorites for sure. But it's kind of that, it's just a fun groove, and then like the when the chorus comes around, and then it definitely feels country there. But
somehow I managed to sneak in the country after all.
Right, but it all feels good. It's a great song.
Thanks.
And obviously a great message in there that we all need somebody. Want to add around "Hand to Hold"? What's
First of all, speaking musically, like I agree, it's kind of a standalone sort of as far as vibe goes. Mm-hmm. But that was really fun. It's always really fun to play that one live as well. Every now and then I'll find myself wading into some bluesy territory, and it always feels really good. It's sort of luck of the draw. Like if I start writing something and it goes in that direction. But that really is a song about just having a place to come home to, a place where you belong. And
I've been tired. I've been dragging my feet all over. this town. I've been burdened, tried to carry it all on my own. The little things all gather up, grow to become what defines me for ill or for gain. What keeps me tender,
I think that I was playing a bunch of like shows that I don't know, we all know that like there are some really great shows that are very fulfilling and then there's some that just make you feel like you're gonna hang up your hat.
Right.
And so there's definitely that contributing to that song, like just getting home late and feeling like why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And just having a place and then the people in your life that can keep you, like, remind you why you do what you do and remind you who you are, and because it's definitely a roller coaster, and it's defeating at times, you know, if you're playing like a background music
right.
gig and people are trying to talk over you, or I don't actually mind.
Play something we can dance to.
That's right. Like, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Like, well, that is not going to happen right. here with the sad folk singer. But yeah, so I don't actually mind like a background music gig. I sort of get it. Like, I'm not, that's what that is, mm-hmm. you know, but there's just times that you go home and it's late and like, what am I doing? Or on tour, I guess. When there have been some bad shows on tours and kind of like, why am I far from home? Like, what am I doing?
Right.
What is this worth it? And so, yeah, it's really just about having that like place to come back to. And
yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned your children. Are mm-hmm. have they responded to music at all? Like,
Yeah. It's been cool. Like more recently, I feel like a lot of kids start out with kind of that general mainstream, like they just hear what's on the radio.
Right.
But I feel like lately their tastes have started to kind of land a little more, and actually just today I was, you know, playing some Weezer and Rolling Stones. It was a little education hour.
All right.
So just trying to give them a broad musical education. But yeah, and then my oldest has been playing the guitar, and so it's super cool to see, like,
yeah,
that interest be, you know, for them to pick that up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I just think that's got to be definitely one of the coolest things, because, mm-hmm, like, obviously you're bonded in a certain way being the parent, but, mm-hmm, like, I feel like even more so as musicians that can start playing together, you know, mm-hmm, like, musicians seem to speak in their own language, you know, mm-hmm, it's like, whether it's, especially with guitar players or whatever it is, and where, you know, you don't even have to talk, you can just, you know, where they're going with a whatever, yeah, you know, chord pattern or whatever it is and stuff. So I always find that, like, I'm jealous of that, because I don't play at all. So, mm-hmm, I when I see people, like, you know, improvised jamming and stuff, mm-hmm, happening, and it sounds awesome, and they like, oh yeah, we just made that up, and I'm like, oh, that's amazing, like, I don't know how you did that, but
yeah.
So I always find that stuff, like, really super cool with musicians, mm-hmm, and stuff. So but I just imagine that being a real treat to someday get to, you know, sit in there playing music with your family and stuff, and yeah, that kind, yeah, of thing. So
yeah, they have to, you know, they're starting to understand that my musical taste isn't horrible. Like, right, at first it was the songs I would suggest were rejected.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are classic, like, this is classic rock. It is universally,
sure,
respected. So yeah, their tastes are evolving, yeah, I would say, as far as what they listen to and what they're more interested in, like, playing on the guitar.
Yeah. That's what I do. One of my, you know, I mentioned Black Keys, and, like, mm-hmm, obviously, they put out a whole new record of, like, these, Hill Country Blues songs that they were, you know, heavily influenced by and stuff.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's called Delta Cream. And, nice, and it's, but, like, I'm pretty sure, like, the whole record's covers.
Hmm.
I'm pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, obviously it's them playing it, and it sounds incredible. But I just love that they're taking some of their favorites,
mm-hmm,
and putting it out there to their fan base, and they're, like, showing a whole new generation amazing music, yeah, that, you know, and it's like, and that's kind of the thing, like, I think I just find that cool that they're kind of bringing it to a modern day, mm-hmm, you know, and stuff. So giving some of these artists the proper respect that, yeah, you know, they deserve and stuff, because it's like, a lot of these guys are, you know, long gone now, and, mm-hmm, you know, and a lot of people don't even know who they are. So, mm-hmm, you know, guys like, R.L. Burnside, and, mm-hmm, you know, and, whatever, just there's many of those blues artists that were just kind of forgotten about, like, yeah, you know,
but, keep them going.
Right. Especially for, you know, I'm saying, for younger generations.
That's right. Stuff. Yeah. So,
but yeah, anyway, I just think it's neat that they're able to, they have that fan base and that following, and they can be like, hey, check the, you want to see something cool, check this out. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, mm-hmm, and so when you get, you know, like you're saying, getting to share classic rock stuff with your, with, yeah, your kids, and, like, hey, you know, this stuff's not too bad.
Like, yeah.
Check it out. So,
that's right.
I always kind of laugh, though. I always, actually, it's kind of become a meme now. There's one going around, like, where, you know, people wearing band shirts, you know, and,
yes,
like, and, like,
yeah,
name three songs with you or whatever. You know, like, and, but everybody wears, like, these Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stone shirts
because, yeah,
they're trendy or whatever, but they have no idea who these bands are. They,
cause they, yeah, cool, they got the shirt at Target.
Right. Yeah. So,
yep.
But it just makes me laugh. Like, but yeah, I think it's fun to, that's one of my biggest goals is in life. Cause, like, I'm just, I have all these records and music that's been a huge impact on my, mm-hmm, life, and I hope to someday have children of my own to, or even niece and nephew, mm-hmm, or whatever,
yeah,
and somebody that I can pass that on to and be like, you know, here, this is the cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, there's a little more out there than just the Disney Channel songs.
That's,
or whatever, you know, that kind of, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mainstream radio.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's good stuff in it all, but
for sure. But I use that at the gym. It has a great beat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So what have you been at? What's something that's been pretty on like current rotation for you? What's if somebody pulled up your Spotify playlist right now? What have you been listening to?
Oh man, this is not well. I'm super into Lord Huron, and I have been for a number of years. But for whatever reason, over like the whole pandemic year, I just have this playlist, and I just play it like all the time. And it, you know, usually when I'm cooking dinner at night, and it was just kind of like my sanity.
Yeah.
They came out with a new record recently. But yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's just kind of like this little more indie leaning.
Okay.
Got some sort of weird Western influences in there, but yeah, very into them. Let me think, who else? Yeah, I've always got like kind of my old favorites.
Right.
The ladies, like Patty Griffin and, you know, Emmylou Harris and all of those kind of old standards that I could listen to on any day. Any number of.
Sure.
I either go like deep old timey, you know, and I'm listening to John Prine and some of, you know, just kind of some classics, or I'm like more in that indie vein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. I try to push myself a lot, especially, you know, I do a lot already with this show, like constantly discovering new artists and listening to new records and stuff through the show. But I love 90s on 9, cruising around, singing to my, all these goofy songs and stuff that I grew up with. And, you know, especially like I'm a sucker for like the Swedish pop stuff, like Ace of Base stuff like that,
yes.
Roxette. And, you know, I just like, I don't know why, but I'm just that.
Well, because it's amazing.
It's just fun. Like, it's just like, it puts a smile on my face every time. And
yeah, but no, I think we established last time, like we have the same, we're the same age. And then, so those 90s songs, like to me, they inspire a lot of productivity. Like if you need to get something done, turn on a 90s Spotify. And all of that music strangely is sort of like coming back and having its, you know, second life in the younger generation.
Yeah. I mean, and I've heard like, even obviously it's not 90s, but, you know, Hall & Oates, I remember, Daryl Hall came on Stern Show a while back or something. And he was like, they're doing bigger tours and arenas. Well, this is, you know, pre-COVID and everything else, but they're doing way bigger stuff now. It's like, coming back around, people, there's such a fan following now than when they were first kind of get going, like, you know, like when they were at their height on the radio and stuff. And now there's like, so it's just kind of, and
that's
the same,
crazy.
And I think the same thing kind of happened with 90s stuff. Like, you know, there's a lot of these 90s tours coming out there, you know, these, I know, actually I was really excited. I wish they were coming to town, but it's like in Maryland or something, but it's, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's Sugar Ray, Smash Mouth, and Gin Blossoms.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's something like that. Like, and I was like, man, what a night that'd be.
And they're probably all standing there like, why are we on tour again? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
And there's like another one with like Everclear. And,
yes.
You know, so.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I just like, I was in St. Louis, we started doing like this 90s. Way back Point Fest kind of thing, which, I hope they bring it back, cause it was a lot of fun. Just like so many of these 90s rock bands that I, just love, you know, love. And I still love all this. And then, yeah, they had like, I saw Everclear there. I saw Eve Six, Lit, you know, like so many of these like bands, like, and it's great in that kind of a festival setting because these bands couldn't tour on their own to support a show, you know, like right now, but they come out like, hey, remember us?
Everybody's, you know, so like, excited.
Yeah. Actually, with Eve Six, was good because he goes, he came out and he's like, this song might sound like it was written by an 18-year-old because it was, you know, like, and, you know.
I'm sure that's going to be so strange for them to, like, try to reconnect with that material that they wrote when they were so young. Right. And they're, I'm sure they're in a much different phase of life.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a good problem to have, though, that people still want to hear your song 20 years later. But
that's right.
I do remember, like, there's, I think there's two, there's either you embrace it and, and you, you're like, all right, we're going to be known as this band that plays that song, whatever. Or you, I think, and I didn't, this is not a firsthand experience, but my buddy told me, Deep Blue Something, saying Breakfast at Tiffany's came to town years ago. And I guess they really didn't care for that song, or didn't care that that was like the, you know, the one they made
famous.
Try
to distance themselves from it a little bit.
Something along those lines. They were like, all right, if you showed up for this song, here you go. We're, they played it first. And then like everybody like left after that. And like, so,
That's horrible
kind of thing. So I was like, I don't think that's the route to go though. Like,
you, no, you got to bury it in your set. Yeah. Keep them like, keep them wanting more and then give it to them.
Yeah. So I just thought that was funny though. Like, I think Extreme is like that too. Like, they hate that they're known for more than words. Like, you know, like they're just like, what I always laugh thinking about a group like Sugar Ray, because they were like a hard rock band prior to Fly.
Yeah.
And then Fly became like the runaway hit on the, on that record.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we'll just keep doing that.
I guess,
and so they,
I guess this is what we do.
Yeah. So they just started making everything that sounded like pop, like, on, like that. And so they named the next record 1459 because they knew their 15 minutes of fame was almost up. So,
no way. So I did not know that.
Yeah. And like, so they just fully embraced the whole thing, like, hey, well, all right, we'll play, we'll play pop music if that's what you want. And then, they, you know, a bunch of huge hits came off of that record. And, and Mark McGrath still, you know,
doing that's it, so. Crazy. I didn't know that that album title came from that.
I mean, that's, I'm pretty sure that's, I mean, it's gotta be, but yeah, the whole, you know, they made poking fun at it, you know, like, so.
Yep. You gotta own it.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I think then so much of that stuff's just super fun. It's just, you know, there's a reason those songs are still played as often as they are. Mm-hmm. Just fun, pop, cheesy, you know, there's so many good memories attached to those songs and stuff, cruising around with my friends when I was a teenager and stuff. So but yeah, I don't know how we got derailed on all these.
I feel like last
wonders,
time we
but,
talked about 90s music too, so we gotta there's really something. Focus
yeah right
to not talk about it.
But I don't know. It's fun, like you know, sharing some of your stuff, because I always, that's what I do like about doing the show, is get introduced to other artists, like you're saying, Lord Huron. Yeah, so I'll have to go check that out, because
I'm just into them. I have,
So yeah, I'll give it a listen.
Do it.
So you have a couple opportunities to come see Karen live. One of them being a virtual show.
Yes, you can see me live virtually
on a screen. Yeah,
on a screen. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
But you you get to play Sheldon.
Yeah,
which is one of my absolute favorite rooms in our city. It's a beautiful space.
Yeah.
Sheldon Concert Hall on July 6th.
July 6th, yes.
So, and that'll be streamed on Facebook and everything like that.
Yeah, so that's from their Notes from Home series, and they're still doing that series all, you know, virtually. So they will stream it live while we perform. I'll be there with my guitar player, Nick Dahlquist, and... so we'll just be playing in that beautiful room. Mm-hmm. And, the benefit obviously of these virtual shows is that, everyone from outside of St. Louis gets like the experience of the Sheldon, just that stage and that, that room. And, you know, even if they don't live here.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's going to be really a nice treat for sure. Like, it's going to be a cool night. Do you have a favorite memory? I mean, other than being on the stage yourself, do you have a favorite show or anything else that you've been to in that room? Or,
oh well, speaking of Patty Griffin, I saw her there, not terribly long ago. But you know, I'm not from St. Louis originally, so yeah, I haven't seen a ton of shows there, but performing there, it's a really special experience.
Yeah.
And last time I was there, the full band, and so I'm interested to see just how it feels to kind of be on that stage in a little bit more of an intimate performance mm-hmm. environment.
I saw reason I asked because I have a moment that comes to mind. And I saw Amos Lee
there,
and I'm just a giant fan of him.
Now, did he play solo for that show, or did he do? Because I know a lot of people play a little more stripped down at the Sheldon.
He did a couple things. Okay. Like he had a little bit of a group with him.
Yeah.
But he did a couple songs, just him and guitar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, but there was I have a YouTube video I'll show you a link to, that I shot on my phone. And even on the phone, you know, it's a pretty cool
amazing
moment.
Yeah.
But, but he's doing, I'm pretty sure he's doing violin on that video, in that particular song, but he, steps off mic and just, you know, the acoustics in that room mm-hmm. are just perfect, and like, you know, no amplification, just him singing out to the crowd, and I was just like goosebumps all over, and I was just like, this is such a cool thing. Like it was really a cool, I've seen him try to do a similar thing mm-hmm. he tried doing it at the pageant,
doesn't work,
and it doesn't not nearly, it's just, you know, but Sheldon is perfectly set up for that type of stuff, and and it was such a cool moment. But
I actually did the same thing at my last show. I think there's something about that room where you're like, I need to sing to this crowd without a microphone. And so similar thing, like I stepped out off mic, and I, you know, it just is a pretty to be singing without amplification and mm-hmm. let the room do the work for you. It's a great experience.
Well, I think that room's like, I think it was originally like, you know, it's designed that way because prior to amplification,
you
know,
absolutely.
it was a speaking, mm-hmm. so those rooms were set for like that.
Yeah. Yep.
So
they lend themselves to that.
Yeah. But, it was such a cool thing, and he's, so I've seen him, you know, in a couple of various rooms around town, and like, mm-hmm. and you know, he's,
that was the one.
Yeah. That's the one that stands out. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
There's a second moment that comes to mind with Amos, but it was not had to do anything really to do with him. But I, it was right after, the show, mm-hmm. I bought his album, and I got to, meet him back by his tour bus. Mm-hmm. Got to sign my record, my CD.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is super cool. It's good night and everything. Okay. And then I got immediately reminded that everything's about, ebb and flow, peaks and valleys, you know, and it's like everything's, you know, so I'm walking, like, yeah, what a great night. This was cool. And then I tripped on the sidewalk and I fell and I broke my CD case. And like, the CD was fine, but so still played, but I smashed this. I was just like,
the one he signed.
Yeah. I'm just man, what a nice reminder that, you know, like,
what comes up.
Yeah. Right. All right. I was like, came crashing down. Yeah. So I was just like, man, what a night. So luckily I didn't get hurt or anything, but I was just like,
you know, just your pride.
Yeah. All right. I hope nobody saw that. Yeah. One of those moments.
Yep.
Well, you also, this coming up in the summer, mm-hmm. We have a big one that we are a part of together.
Yeah.
That I'm really super excited for. First of all, because it's my first show back, mm-hmm. You know, in 18 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a fun night. But August 21st. You will be on the stage at the Focal Point in Maplewood, Missouri. And it'll be part of my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. And we did this about 3 years in Chesterfield at Naked Vine, mm-hmm. and which sadly had to close their doors in 2020 when everything... And just Brian tried to do his part to hang. And but it'll be... bigger and better things for Brian down the future, in the future, I'm sure. But Naked Vine was such a cool place, but had to close their doors. But So I'm kind of, this is my first chance to put some artists back on a stage and kind of revive that series. And I invited Karen and my buddy Andy Sido, be coming in from Denver area. And one of my other local favorites, Mr. Nick Gussman, and Anthony Russo. Yeah. So it's going to be a really a cool night. Four artists sitting on stools, sharing the stories behind their songs. And
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
In front of a live audience.
Yeah.
People.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and, you know, all the restrictions are lifted and stuff. So hopefully we'll have a nice crowd in there and everybody will be able to have a good time. And
it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Me too. And I think you, that'll be your first time meeting Andy and Anthony, right? So
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'll really enjoy their stuff too. So
yeah,
and that's the fun about that show too, is just kind of introducing you all.
Yes.
So that's gonna
making connections.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it all. But we'll have more details on that, Tickle Link and everything up shortly. So keep an eye out, mark it on that on your calendar for you. Come on out and join us there.
Yeah.
I've been going around and asking some of these questions and having some fun getting some different answers out of these.
Should I be nervous?
No, they're not too bad. what if there was the day comes we have a Karen Choi biopic, who would you like to see cast to play you in the movie version of your story? You ever get, you look like anybody?
Is that, I mean,
come up?
Somebody have curly hair? Like, that's probably the only thing that you need to, I don't know.
Right.
I'm running a blank. Can you help me, Shane?
I don't know. I ask, but I'm not good.
You're not good. Yeah.
I'm not good at this part.
I'm not good either.
I like to put people on the spot.
Did put me on the spot.
But I don't know. People ask me who I would, you know, play me in the movie. And I'm like, I don't even know. I know people that look like me, but I don't think they're actors and stuff. But part of the fun too might be just somebody that you like or that you know.
But. One of my favorite actresses is Emma Thompson, but she's quite a bit older than I am. And you know, but yeah, her—that's who I choose.
There it is,
hands down.
Yeah, she could do it.
Yep, and she's British, and her hair is short and straight, but it's fine.
Hey. Hollywood magic.
She's fine. She's
it's Hollywood, baby. We can make it.
it's happening.
What's a dream duet or a collaboration you'd love to see for yourself?
Oh, for myself.
I know you mentioned some names earlier. I'm sure those people are high up on the list. And
I was gonna say there's probably something, you know, when it comes down to it, so I'm a big Emmy Lou Harris fan, like I said, or I don't know if I said that, but, and she just does so many duets. Like that's kind of been her thing. She's been around for a long time, like performing and, doing background vocals for people, all of that. So, I'd love to sing with her and, that's who comes to mind initially. Yeah.
Well, let's make that happen.
Let's do
I'll make some
calls. Put in a call.
Yeah. All right. So this one kind of came up through Stern Show. He recently had Dave Grohl on, and Dave shared a great story about hanging with Paul McCartney at Paul's house and eating pizza, and Taylor Swift was there, and just sounded like such a cool party.
Yeah.
You know, but. What would be a dream dinner for you? Like who would you three artists or three people that you would like to invite over for dinner that night or something?
These are questions, Shane. Yeah. I should have studied for this exam. Right.
And this could be past or present.
I know. That's what's the problem. I'm trying to think. Can I come back to this
one?
Because I need to think about
right.
it. Yeah.
But I don't know that.
Do you have an answer?
There's a bunch of them that come to mind. There's I'm just there's a lot of writers that I'm like super fan of that mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be entertaining for them at all, but I could sit there and ask, you know, talk about songs and or hearing them play songs and so I mean like those kind of things. You know, to get deep, you know, my mom, like, I mean, if I could, you know, hang out with her, and like, that would be cool. But,
That's awesome.
Yeah. But so that's, those are, you know, that's kind of stuff too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but
you got it. Yeah. You can think past and present, like you said.
Sure. I think one of my friends answered, Jesus.
There you go.
You know, we have a conversation with him and I'm like, that'd definitely be interesting to hear what he had to say.
That would,
especially today. Like if, you know, you were sitting with him in 2021 and mm-hmm. so, yeah. But, I don't know. It's a dream, you know? So
I feel like I truly have to think about this one because I'm the type of personality that like, if I spit out names
right
later on, I'm like, no, that's not who, you know,
cut that out.
Yeah. Cut that part.
Yeah. I didn't mean that.
Yes. Just ax this whole segment.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll let you come back to you think about that.
Okay.
All right. What about, and this might be hopefully this one doesn't stump you too.
Yeah.
But what's, all right, we have a Karen Choi action figure. What would be three accessories that would come with your action figure?
Okay. I think a guitar.
Yeah.
Can I say a glass of wine?
All out.
It's like that non-essential worker Barbie doll that came out. Guitar, wine. Oh man, I have to say something like a really great like pair of pajamas because I'm such a homebody.
Right.
And so my action in life would be like staying home and, you know,
yeah,
playing music.
Is it red or white wine? What is it?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends. If it's winter Karen action figure, it's red. But if it's summer, it's white or rosé. Rosé.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, later I might look back on this moment and think, don't say pajamas and wine for your action figure. But right now, that's like my truest.
That's like, that's quarantine Karen.
I know. Quarantine Karen was like in the zone. And I'm like, I think this is actually who I am.
Right.
But I feel like social pressures and things, you know.
Yeah. I got my wife some nice hoodie footy or not hoodie footy. I don't think they're not hoodie, but they're footy pajama like onesie zip up pajamas and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
I reserve the right to make my answer cooler at another later date.
Yeah.
When I remember how to socially interact with people and, you know, things like that.
That one was inspired by Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
Thinking about Woody and stuff like.
Yep.
And then what I used to also ask your pull quotes, like if you had a pull string, what might be some quotes and stuff. But
that's a good question.
So, one night, me and Stacy like binged all four of the Toy Stories. Like so.
Yeah.
great movies. Highly recommend.
Yep.
Disney Plus. Check
Disney
out.
Plus. Yeah. Yeah.
Proud sponsor. Rocky. All right. Is there speaking of like movies and TV show stuff, is there a certain world that you, you'd love to like live in? Like, is there a certain, you know, whatever it is that, either fictional or non-fictional and stuff. Is there anything that comes to mind? Like that would be fun to be a part of that world.
You know, I love like, Jane Austen world.
Yeah.
Just, in terms of the movie, like, you know, obviously the books, but like, as if we're talking about movie environments, so I'm going to swing hard. I'm going to say Jane Austen and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
There's no in between for me.
Yeah.
I'm either like in a Victorian gown or whatever the era, pardon me.
Yeah.
For not getting that right. But like, or I'm like, you know, I have a wand and.
I'm not, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but I have never read the books or watched the movies or, but there's the, like, I've seen some of the stuff about the theme park and stuff, and I was like, I was like, that seems like fun. I think I think I'd like to go to the what's that? I guess it was, where's that at? Universal or something?
Yes, I believe so.
Something like that.
I've never been. I suppose, yeah, I suppose my dream could come true by going to Harry Potter World.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, it looks cool because it's like, it's all come to life. You know, it's like, you are like really visiting this world. So,
as far as I know, they have not created Jane Austen World yet in, you know, Universal Studios.
That's next year.
That's next year. Yeah. You go and like drink some tea.
All right.
And have intellectual conversations.
I did see they opened up, I mean, I saw it on Facebook. I didn't really fact check it, but I guess there's like a, where they really did shoot Jurassic World, I guess.
Yeah,
like you can actually go to there, like as a, not, I don't think the dinosaurs are there, but you can, you can go and like just walk around. And,
the dinosaurs aren't there, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's a big,
otherwise I would have
that's
gone.
A big, yeah, that's a big selling point.
That's a big selling
point. Right.
But this, I, as we're having this conversation, I'm like feeling all of a sudden like these answers are written in stone. These answers I'm giving you, like,
oh yeah,
I mean
it's fact now.
It's
it's gonna be on Wikipedia or something.
So I sure hope that I can stand by all of these answers.
All right. Emmy Lou is gonna listen to this
and she's gonna
Nope.
She was going to like do a duet with me until I said that I wanted to wear pajamas in my action figure.
Right.
And then she's like, no, she's not.
Nope.
She is not cool.
Right up until then, I was on.
She was tracking with me.
Well, Karen, this has been a ton of fun. I'm so glad we did this tonight.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sure we could keep going on for hours and hours, just laughing and talking about 90s music and Harry Potter and everything else, but don't want to keep you here, too late and everything, but, and I always like to reserve, plenty of follow-up, you know, we can always do another one, sometime soon. So, like I said, keep this conversation rolling, but, this has been a ton of fun. Again, if you haven't found a copy of Lost County, you need to go and do that today. Mm-hmm. You can follow Karen on Facebook and Instagram for more dates and information.
Yeah.
As far as the rest of 2021, are you thinking about hitting the studio again soon, or what's what is next? You know, some things in the future, distant future. That Karen would like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, first kind of order of business is just getting out and playing some shows and, again, giving Lost County a little bit more of a run. And then for sure, like, just continue to write. And I'm not sure if 2021 will be, like, I'll probably do a single or two. And then after that, start thinking about, like, the next project, you know, whether EP or full length.
Yeah. Are you looking to hit the road and do some more regional touring stuff? And
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there'll be some natural kind of like rescheduling of things. I was going to be out in Colorado and, Wisconsin, things like that. Like, so just figuring out, touring is such a, like booking is such a puzzle. So those all had fallen into place. And, so I'll probably start there, like, seeing what I might reschedule that was canceled and postponed and, take it a step at a time. You know, I feel like it's at least at this point right now, it's, with local shows starting to happen a little more frequently. That's kind of the starting point and then go from there.
Yeah, it is it is a very, nice sign, reassuring, and to see the concert calendar filling up, you know.
Yeah, lots of tours being announced. Yeah. I've seen,
right. It's so cool. All kinds of baseball's back, you know, they're going full capacity at Busch Stadium.
So I hear.
You know, all this kind of stuff. So everybody's ready to rip the Band-Aid off and we'll see what happens. So
Yeah.
So I hope that you know, I'm done with all of it. I mean, like, I don't, I'm not, you know, saying, you know, going against the science of all of it and stuff, but I'm I'm done.
You're tired.
Yeah. I'm just ready to get back to my lifestyle that I used to have, and not having to wear my mask everywhere, and not having to, you know, bump elbows or do any of that kind of stuff like that. You know, it's like I want to get back to hugs, and I'm
actually wearing my shirt. Literally says I miss hugs and live music.
Yeah, that's you know, so
it says it all.
Yep. So can't wait. Hugs and high fives everywhere I go. Yeah. And so it's I'm excited, but it's just nice to start seeing my lifestyles coming back around. Mm-hmm. So I'm like
Cool.
So I worry long term though, like even, you know, just how this is going to have an impact, you know, on everything, you know, especially large crowds, gatherings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's definitely going to be a group of people that are ready, you know, but I also feel like there's people that get anxiety just looking at concert footage from, you know, years, you know.
It's had a pretty profound effect on a lot of people. Yeah.
You know, so I just feel like there's going to be a lot of people like, no, I'm not ready for that for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, so I don't know. It's going to be weird to see how everything unfolds, in the next couple of years and stuff. So, but, I don't know. I'm not real big into those big crowds anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not my scene, but, you know, I can, hot summer night down on the Oyster Bar patio.
That's all you need.
That's I can handle that. I can, you know, a couple hundred people in there or whatever, you know, I can handle that. But I don't I don't like to do those big amphitheaters and stuff. It's just that's not fun for me. But last time I went to Point Fest, there was a bunch of crowd surfers and I got kicked in the head a couple of times and stuff like that. And I'm just like, started to become like the angry old man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm too old for this now.
This is not what I want to be doing.
Yeah. I'm like, I like the music still, but the people that
could go without the kick in the head.
Right. So, but hopefully we'll get you back on the road and out, getting to share these songs and music with everybody. So, so keep involved on social media and coming to a town near you soon, hopefully.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Shane.
And we'll see you all on August, the 21st of August.
That's right.
At Focal Point.
We'll be there.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.